Good morning, community of faith. It's a blessing to be here. I'm going to ask you to do something that I always ask you to do, and you do the opposite, which is hug the person you came to church with. I always say, find a stranger and greet them. Today, I'm saying, hug the person you came to church with, because that's the only person you can hug. And it's a great pleasure to be here today. It's a blessing to be back in our building. And the first thing we need to do is thank the Lord for this opportunity. Thank the Lord because we're here back in church today, because he's the one who held us in his hand all this time. I didn't know how you went through the pandemic, the lockdown, if it was complicated, if it was difficult for you. Maybe wonderful things happened, but what's true is that God was with us the whole time, every single minute. He loves you, he worries about you, and we have to thank him for it. With this comeback to our building, things are going to start changing. We're going to start a new season in the life of Community of Faith. It's a new season. And we're going to have the new normality, the way it's called now. Things are going to take a while, you know, to go back to normal, if they ever go back to normal, you know. I guess what we knew before the pandemic. And things are going to take a while. But I'm convinced that no matter what kind of normality we go back to, God has wonderful things planned for each of us within that normality, you know, within the stage that we're going to be living. And that's why I wanted to start the new series. I don't know if you saw the title in the program. The series is called Maturing Through the Seasons of Life. Maturing Through the Seasons of Life. We're going to learn about how the Lord is doing things in each season, and he wants us to mature. He wants us to be transformed and be closer to Jesus Christ in character and virtue. And we're going to go through different seasons in life. We're going to thank the Lord. We're going to place our lives in his hands, as always. We're going to do the introduction to the series today, trying to understand the seasons of life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you because through everything we've been going through the last 6 months, 7 months, many of us have felt your presence very closely. We've seen your hand in things that, even in the midst of complicated situations, we saw your kindness, your love, your mercy. You opened our eyes to incredible blessings. You know, many of those blessings wouldn't have happened any other way. And we know that you're there, right behind all those things, complicated things. Thank you for your love, for holding us, for providing. We start this new stage in the life of our church, the way you have determined it to be. And we want to put this church in your hands, put our life in your hands. And we want you to be directing every step of our way. Shed light every step of the way, dear God. Tell us how we need to do things. And give us wisdom and virtue, dear Lord. We want to be careful with all the members of a church when they come to this building, from the oldest to the youngest. Dear God, we want their safety in our minds, and they don't want, we want them to stay close. We want them to be connected, and please help us be wise to keep their safety in mind. And we want to walk with you every step of the way. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, from the very beginning of time, if you study the Bible, God created the world for it to function through seasons. In the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verses 22, it says the following. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So earth has always functioned or worked that way, you know, through seasons or stages. And not only earth, but people's lives work like that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. So if you think about it, everybody's life changes through stages and seasons. Because, you know, we're growing and maturing mentally. We grow mentally, emotionally, physically, and, you know, spiritually. But what's a reality is that only if you learn whatever you're meant to learn in each season, then you move on and you mature. Your life gets better. Sadly enough, some people get stuck in certain seasons. You know, they get stuck in the past and they remain bitter they isolate themselves and it's hard for them to move on, to go to the next stage in their life. So we need to learn how to mature during these seasons. And, you know, that's the series. So we're going to learn how to mature in each season of life. One thing that you need to keep in mind is how you handle the seasons in your life affects your relationships, directly affects your relationships. So relationships are not static either. You know, things change in relationships. So relationships, either they get better or they get worse. So if you learn how to handle the seasons in your life, you can have better relationships. I don't know if, you know, those of you who are married, have you noticed that your spouse and yourself are in different seasons in life? And if you don't realize that, it can be a problem. What I've learned in my marriage with Karina is that either you grow together or you start drifting apart. You know, you start growing, but, you know, each in your own direction. If you're going through different seasons in your life and you are not aware of that, couples start drifting apart. And same thing happens with all our relationships, you know, with our children, with our bosses, with our subordinates, with our friends. But if you understand the seasons, you can have more empathy with other people. You can help them. You can understand them better and get why they're behaving the way they're behaving. It could be of great help. It could be of great help for you to reach out to somebody who's going through something that you've already been through, right? Or vice versa. You know, in this series, we're going to analyze the most common seasons in life. In fact, the seasons that we're going to analyze are seasons, you know, common to humankind. And then we're going to talk about seasons that not everybody goes through. So this is the introduction to the series. We're going to learn 5 truths about the seasons of life. And if you understand them, you're going to have a better handling of them. You're going to work around them much better. And especially, you're going to learn how to enjoy every season you live in. So let's go to Roman numeral 1. It says 5 truths about the seasons of life. Number 1, the seasons in my life are out of my control. So these stages in my life cannot be controlled by me. We cannot control when they happen, how long they last. Things are changing, and it's not up to me for them to change or not. Now, many people, and it's normal, many people think that certain things in life, in their life, certain change in their lives, can be controlled. But the truth is that they're lying to themselves. You don't have any control over these seasons in your life. In general terms, these stages start with a certain event that irritates or disrupts your tranquility. You know, you have all your plans, and then you have things in mind, and then those plans evaporate. Okay, they disappear. Hasn't that just happened to all of us? Something changes, and then you start in a stage of insecurity. Maybe you used to be, you know, very self-assured and you feel felt in control, and then suddenly you see that you're not in control, so you're insecure. Or maybe you're going into a stage of pain, you're hurt. And maybe you lose somebody, you lose a relationship, or maybe somebody's hurting you. Maybe you're starting at a stage of financial stress, extreme financial stress. You don't know what to do, you don't know where the money's gonna come from. Or then maybe other times we go into a season of waiting, and you're pushing and pushing and pushing for things to happen, and nothing moves, and you're just kind of sitting there waiting for things to happen. And maybe you go into other seasons where the temptation is full on, and you're getting attacked all over the place. And we have seasons of failure. We have seasons of loneliness. All those seasons we're going to talk about. And they happen when external factors shred your routine to pieces, and you're forced to change direction. And it's frustrating because we can predict that seasons will come, but we don't know when, and we don't know how long they're going to last. You know, it's important that you keep in mind that they're seasons, that they're stages, and they will pass. But that feeling of continuation of a tough season makes people sometimes make the wrong choice and take their own lives. But even though we cannot control these seasons, they're only seasons. Some of them just take forever. It is frustrating because they seem to just last forever. And then others, when we're enjoying them, they are so fast. And it doesn't matter how good of an attitude you have or how much you worry, they will happen. And God has full control of them. He has full control of every single thing that happens in your life. And he has control of those things for his own purposes, not for your purposes. He's in control of those for his own purposes. Now, if we go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, he says the following. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To whom belong wisdom and might? He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." I love it because Daniel says he removes kings and he sets up kings. He's in control of all worldwide events. And when we learn how to accept that, then you won't worry so much about certain things because God is in full control of everything. And he's moving all the pieces around in a universe for a purpose, for a specific purpose and end, right? So who the governor is, who the next president is, the director of school, my next school year teacher, God's plans are not going to change no matter what happens. He's going to keep working no matter who is in the presidency or whatever. So number one, these things are out of my control. And point number two, these seasons sometimes can be confusing. And people ask themselves, why is this happening to me? I do not understand. But the truth is that the understanding of things usually happens subsequent to the event, after the event has happened. After we've gone through things, tough things, then we mature and we understand. But while you're in the storm, while we're in it, we cannot see the silver lining. But then obviously when we look back on it, we have a much better perspective that we're, you know, that when we're in the midst of the storm, right? Now, one thing that we need to keep in mind and have really clear, some things will happen, or there are things that will happen that we will never understand, never understand. And the most important thing that you need to understand or keep in mind is that God does not owe us an explanation for these things. I cannot ask God to explain to me why he's doing what he's doing. He's teaching me how to live by faith. And the Bible tells us everywhere that there are things that will be out of our understanding. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." If you could understand everything God does, then you would be God yourself. So, and you are not God, evidently. So while you're here on this earth, there will be things you will not understand. And now let me put it this way. I used to be a business consultant. And imagine that the whole foundation of the company is my hand, the palm of my hand. So if you're standing right in the middle of it, you can only pretty much see what's around you. Okay, and let's say that you get promoted to the next level. So you go up a little bit more and then your range of sight, let's say, improves or increases a little bit more. So you can see, say, a wider range of things, right? And if you go up the corporate ladder, then you can see a little bit more. You have a better perspective, right? If you become a manager or a director, then when you get to the top of the top, then you can not only see the interaction between the departments, but you can see how our company interacts with the other company. So then when the director of an enterprise makes a choice, then maybe the employees and the lower positions don't get it. But they don't have the same perspective. Now imagine our Lord, King of the universe. He can see everything. He can see present, past, and future. And he makes choices and he takes decisions. And maybe you're thinking, what is God thinking? When we're up there with him, hopefully we'll be able to have a better perspective of things. And we will understand so many things that have happened and are happening. Anyway, but even though we do not understand these things, you need to be aware of the fact that God has a purpose for every season in your life. It's important that you get the depth of this number three, okay? God has a purpose of each state. If you're a true follower of Christ, everything that happens to you goes through the filter of the Heavenly Father. Your life is not a series of random events that happen. Nothing happens by accident. He has a time for everything that happens with you and to you. And this is a verse that we've studied very many times. Romans 8:28. And the Apostle Paul says the following. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, please pay attention to the following. I want you to notice what the verse says and what it does not say. It doesn't say, those who love the Lord, only good things come to them. It does not say that. Nor does it say that things work together for good for all the world. It doesn't say that. It says that if you love the Lord, all things work for good. Right? Things work for good for those who love him. Right? And in other versions, it says that things cooperate for good. So God makes sure that everything that happens in your life works for his plan, works for your good. So nothing in your life happens without a purpose. Okay? Everything that happens in your life has a purpose. Every single thing, every tiny little thing. Also the bad things? Absolutely. Also bad things. Now look at Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Even the wicked has a purpose. So I don't want you to misunderstand this, please. Don't think that God is planning problems for you, okay? He's not. He doesn't need to. You don't need help from God to get in trouble, evidently. All the problems we face come from three different places. Number one, we bring them upon ourselves because we disobey, because we make wrong choices. We are impulsive. We don't calculate the consequences of things. Well, another reason why problems come to our life is other people, for the same reason. Other people disobey the Lord. They don't know the Lord. They make bad choices. You know, they don't think prior to acting. They're impulsive. And the third reason is because we live in a fallen world. Okay, we're all broken as a result of sin, right? We took God out of our lives. And everything that happens in nature and hurricanes and sickness, God created a perfect world and we kind of broke it, basically, right? So God is not the author of evil, but he takes advantage of every little thing to teach you something for your good. And that's where Romans 8:28 is very clear about who it applies to. For those who are called according to his purpose. So basically, all those who love him are trying to fulfill his purpose. That's why even when things go wrong, God shows us a silver lining. If you trust him and if you give him the broken pieces of your life and the situations you go through, he can do wonderful things with those broken pieces. He helps you make those things manageable and work for good. Now, number four says that stages of life or seasons in life include good times and bad times. You know, it doesn't say there are good seasons and bad seasons. It does not say that. It says the seasons in life in general include both good times and bad times. Okay? Maybe things that seem wrong, that are going wrong in our eyes. But the life is full of contrasts, you know, between hills and valleys, of failure and success. Now in Ecclesiastes 3:28, it says the following. King Solomon tells us very clearly, 28 different experiences that are contrasting. There are 14 pairs of contrasts that the life is full of. So let's go through them. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Right? There's a moment where we are born and it's a joy and we're all going to die. There's a time to plant, to sow, to invest, to push forward. And then there's a time to pluck or harvest, to get the results of what we've planted. There's a time to kill, to let some things die, another to heal. There's a time to break down certain things and others to build up certain things. There's a time to weep. Sometimes some people don't want to cry, or men don't cry, but Jesus Christ cried. And then there's a time where we have to leave that pain behind and we need to laugh, right? We need to heal. We can cry in due time, and then we need to laugh as well. We need to mourn when we lose a relationship, when we lose a loved one. And that there's other times when we need to dance and be joyful when we still have them. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embrace. Right now we're in the refraining from embracing time. We love to hug each other, but we are at that point right now to refrain from embracing. And there's a time where we have to seek, and then a time to lose, to stop trying, you know? There's a time to keep things and others to cast away things. Have you noticed that people are divided into two kinds of people? The keepers and those who like to throw away. You know, they have their school IDs from first grade. And then others who like to throw everything away. And God in his everlasting wisdom, he marries the keepers with the throwawayers. So that's really fun. There's a time to tear and a time to sow. There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And that is so important. If we could tell the difference between those two, we would be wiser. If you know where to keep your mouth closed and when to open it, you'd be much wiser, I'm sure. There's a time to love and a time to hate. King Solomon says that there's a time for war and a time for peace. Life is full of contrasts. Within each season, you have all these contrasts. And you need both parts for things to work out well. Think about it. Also, you know, if it's all sunny and no rain, it's a desert. It becomes a desert. We need both things. I have this memory from when I was in fourth grade. Oh my goodness, you know, lost century. And I don't remember exactly what we were talking about. And then the teacher said, well, do you like school? And then, you know, one of my classmates said, well, I would really like for all year long to be holiday, right? Summer holiday. And then another kid raised his hand and said, nah, that would be cool. Because if we only had holiday, then we wouldn't really enjoy our breaks or our summer holiday. You know, if we didn't have any school, we wouldn't enjoy the weekend, we wouldn't enjoy the holiday, because there wouldn't be a contrast. And then I was thinking, oh, this kid is crazy. It took me a while to kind of, you know, for it to dawn on me. And later on, I thought, well, this kid was absolutely right. If a person who doesn't have a job, he's longing for a job to have a break. But say as an example. But if you're really trying to live the way God wants you to live, then each experience, good or bad, has a purpose and has a value in your life. So maybe right now you're going through a complicated stage. You're in a complicated stage, you know. Maybe you're in a tough financial moment. Right now you lost your job, the company closed down. Maybe you're going through a tough health moment. Or maybe you spent so long at home that you noticed that your relationship wasn't as good as you thought it was, because you were, you know, so much time together. But God can take out something good out of every situation. He can give you a silver lining in every situation if you give him the pieces. Now let's see point number 5. What I sow in a season, I will harvest in another season. This is very important for you to keep in mind. This is the farm law, basically. Okay, all the farmers know that you sow in spring and you harvest in fall. But look at how it comes down. Everything that you do now will have a consequence in another season of your life. Okay, bad habits that you develop in school or home, then they come up when you're married and your career. You know, it works both ways. Your bad habits at home, you know, pop out when you're married, and bad habits at school pop out when you're working. And that's the reason why we get closer to Christ, so that our character is closer and closer to Christ's character. What I'm saying is that consequences take time. People don't see that all the time. You know, they're not aware of the fact that consequences sometimes are not immediate, for good or for bad. You know, the way you respond today will definitely have an effect in your future, the way you respond today. So right now, if you respond correctly in the situation you're facing, even though you think it's not working, even though you think nothing's happening, you will get great results if you don't give up. And I understand that this pandemic has taken out some things out of our hearts, you know. We've become weary by being stuck at home because we cannot reconnect. We cannot go back to normal. But don't give up. Galatians 6:9 says, And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So please don't give up. Even though it seems like nothing's happening, if you do the right thing now, at some point further on or further down the road, it will pay off. So these are the five truths. Now, the question is, how can we take advantage of every stage in our life? Now, in order to do that, you need to answer four questions very honestly. Now, please think about them carefully, okay? According to how you respond, you will realize how much you can take out of each season of my life. So question number one says, what can I learn in this particular season of my life? Now, the Bible compares life to many things, you know, to a race and to different things. But the Bible tells us that life is like a school. And maturing in the school of life means to learn the lessons that he's been trying to teach us throughout our lives. Now, why do we need to learn such lessons? Well, because while we're here on this earth, the more you mature, the better you will live. Okay? You will get better at it, being more fulfilled. Now, what we are living right now is not the main event. We're just kind of going through here briefly, okay? Because we're getting prepared for eternity. What you take from this life is your character and the impact, the spiritual impact that you have on people around you. That's what matters when we get to heaven. And that's why you cannot forget what Proverbs 3:1 says. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. You need to learn whatever you're meant to learn in each season of your life. You need to examine your season in life and take out the principles that whatever God is trying to teach me. What is God trying to teach me right now? Last Sunday, Karina and I went on holiday and then Emilio preached for the adults, and then my daughter Katrina preached for youth group, and she was talking about the plans, God's plans, and then she was saying maybe your plans are going to change or have changed according to this pandemic, but God's plans haven't changed. Maybe your plans have had to change, but God's plans haven't changed. And then when you ask yourself, why is this happening to me, maybe for what is this happening to me? That should be the question. Not why is this happening to me, but what is God trying to teach me, you know, living through, you know, going through this? And life is a series of tests, let's say, and lessons are learned subsequent to those tests, right? We learn those life lessons when we go through things. Now, in school, first you take the lesson, then you take the test, and in life, it's in reverse. First, we have the test and then we learn the lesson. But now in life, if you fail a test, you have to repeat it. And some people have been stuck in the same test, say for 15 years, that have not been able to move forward. Please learn your lesson. Stop and analyze what God is trying to teach you. Remember his teachings. Think of the past. People who forget the past or do not analyze the past make the same mistakes in the future. Read the story of the Israelites. How many times they made the same mistakes? You know, a king started ruling, and you know, such king came to power, and he committed the same sins as his father, or, you know, previous generations. They didn't learn from the mistakes. A good way to keep in mind our mistakes of the past is to have a spiritual journal, and God will open your eyes through complicated situations to things that we need to learn and change. And when you have a spiritual journal, you will be able to go back and read them and say, okay, God, thank you for showing me this, and I need to change it and move forward. Now, the lessons that we need to learn will not end in life. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we're very cool and we are ready to graduate, but it's not like that. The lessons will always come. You know why? Because there's so much more to learn every day. We have a lot to learn about God, about yourself, about people around you. I'm very surprised. You know, Karina and I have been married for 32 years, and I learn new things about her every day. You know, if you pay attention, you keep learning things about people in general, about everything. So lessons will not run out. So it's better to learn first time around. God wants you to learn many things, and that's why there are so many lessons. But the most important lesson we need to learn is the following. To trust in Him. To trust in Him 100% and not trust in you or your strength or your intelligence. Unless you really learn that lesson, you will keep running into things. Now, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says the following. They had so much opposition that they felt like they were going to die. Listen to this, please. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And He lets you go through different situations so that you trust Him. And He pulls the rug under your feet so that you fall on your back and then your eyes are up to heaven. Okay, because you look up. And it's very sad that we have to get to, you have to hit rock bottom so that we realize that God is all we need until God is all we have left. Please don't get to that point. Don't let yourself hit rock bottom for you to realize that God is all you need. Now, the last two questions complement each other. Second question says, what can I enjoy during this season of my life? What things could I enjoy during this season that I'm living right now? Now, you know, certain people are always kind of are waiting to be happy. They're kind of getting ready to be happy. You know, some people say, well, when I graduate. And then they say, okay, when I get a job. I say, well, when I get a raise. And then they say, well, you know, when I become a manager, when I become a director, when I retire. They're always waiting to be happy, like preparing, getting ready. You know, when I meet the woman in my life, oh, when I have kids, oh, when the kids leave home and they go to college. They're kind of always preparing to be happy, but they're not. They're waiting. But the Bible says that you don't have to wait to enjoy. You have to enjoy and rejoice today. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you see that? This is the day. You cannot enjoy any other day but today. You can remember, reminisce on beautiful times and think about the future. But the only thing you can do is enjoy today. And then it's imperative. It says, let us rejoice. See how you can enjoy it. You have to learn how to enjoy every single day, the good ones and the bad ones, because they're all a gift from God. That's why it's called present. And we've talked about this very many times. You know what's a wonderful way to learn? A wonderful way to learn how to enjoy the day is to be thankful. And people who are thankful tend to enjoy their lives much more. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say for all circumstances. It says in all circumstances. The preposition is basic. For this is the will of God. We can be thankful in every situation, although we're not enjoying the situation. So if we live in gratitude every day, then we can enjoy it. Now, what is the most important thing this season of my life? Please think about that. So now we know that we should be thankful in every season of our life. But here comes the big question. You know, the last week I turned 60. You know, I'm on the sixth floor right now. I'm a senior almost. Praise the Lord for that. And it's been a wonderful 60 years. But one of the things that comes with age is the understanding of an immutable truth. Okay? Basically, that time is life and life is very short. Okay, that's an immutable truth. When we were kids and we thought about the next school year, we think, woo, next school year, you know, it seemed eternal. But now when they say next year, you start getting ready because you know that time flies. Okay, now the Bible tells us time and again that we should be aware of the fact that life is short. Life is a mist, and it says it repeatedly. In James chapter 4 verse 14, it says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So in the context of universe, of the duration of things in the universe, we are mist. If you were really aware of that, you would enjoy every day of your life to the fullest. Okay, you would be on the lookout for things to enjoy. The problem is that there are two lies that we believe, okay? and people operate on those eyes, there's time. You know, there will be time to do certain things. Oh, I missed my son's game. Oh, I forgot our anniversary. Oh, I didn't read my Bible. You know, I don't have... later. I'll make time for it later. We're like a mist. We don't know if we will really have time later, okay? We don't know when this will be over, when God will call us to his presence. A long time ago, I read a book, like 25 years ago, that's called First Things First. And it's a book that was written by Stephen Covey, the highly effective people. And then Rebecca and Roger Emeril, and they wrote together the book. They co-wrote the book. And then they would write their name after each anecdote that they would tell. And she used to volunteer at hospital, and she worked in the cancer section, you know, terminal, people with terminal illnesses, and she would sit with them and try to comfort them and pray for them and all that stuff. And she tells this anecdote where she's with this 25-year-old woman. She had cancer, and she was terminally ill, and she has a year-old baby, and she was holding her hand, and she didn't know what to say to this very young woman. She didn't know how to comfort her because she was very young, and the girl was kind of just staring at nothing and looking at the ceiling, and then suddenly she says, "You have no idea what I would give to change one more diaper of my baby." And it's something so trivial if you think about it. But at that moment, that very trivial situation was the only thing that she wanted to do. Okay, maybe, you know, when we're all good and healthy, we're like, "Oh, I don't want to change the diaper. It's your turn." No, it's your turn. And when you think about it, it's something so small and yet so significant. And this woman was saying, "I'd give whatever to change one more diaper." We're like a mist. We don't have spare time, okay? There's no later. You need to make use of time. You need to take advantage of it. And then another lie that people believe is that, "Oh, I'm multitask. I can do everything in this season of my life. I can build my career. I can be an excellent mother and father. I can have a great body. I can keep my friends. I can do origami, and then I can travel all over the world in this season of my life." We want to do everything at the same time. That's what the Bible says. There's a time for everything. But you know what that means? It means that we need to make tough choices. And we need to ask ourselves, what is important to me in this stage of my life? What is the most important thing? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Just make the most out of your time, out of your day. And whatever decisions you need to make, even though they're tough, do it. Make those choices. As I previously mentioned, I used to be a business consultant, and I used to travel a lot, basically 2 weeks out of the four in each month. And, I went to Europe, and I've been to South America to do consulting work. And Karina really made a huge sacrifice. She would be home alone with our four children for long periods of time. And then we wondered whether that was the right thing to do or not. But actually God prepared us for what we're doing today, in those times. But I remember that when our older kids started growing up, she sat me down and she said, "It's time to stop traveling. You cannot travel so much because the kids are growing. Your kids need you to be present. This is the most important thing. You need to stop traveling." So what we did was we dropped our international clients, and they were our main source of economic support, okay, our income, our main source of income. And we just dropped the international ones, and we kept the local ones. And God was with us the whole time. And I haven't done any consulting for a long time, but I've, friends, whom I met 15 years ago, and they've escalated in the corporate ladder, and they're directors of operations of hotel chains and everything, and they call me. And they say, "Hey, could you please give us a seminar? Please, 2 days, just consulting for 2 days. And the only condition I give is, yes, but you're going to pay all the expenses for my wife. Okay, I don't travel alone anymore. I'm not in that season anymore. She needs to come along. Before was a time or the season to travel alone. Now is a season to travel together. It's a season. But at some point, we had to make those choices, make tough choices. Now, why are these two hand in hand? When you identify what's important in the season of your life, then you can concentrate on enjoying it, okay? So that's where they go hand in hand. What is the most important thing in my life in this season? Well, then you enjoy it. Please listen to me. This is a moment you're living. I don't know what you're going through, but it's for sure, there's something that you can enjoy. And if you don't enjoy it now, you will not be able to do it later. You will regret it. Okay, whether you're 25 or 90 years old, okay, like that woman, I wish I could, don't go to that, I wish I could. Enjoy whatever is happening in your life now. Last point, last question. How can I help others during this season of my life? How can I help others? We're not here to worry about ourselves only. That's selfish. The Bible is so clear about that. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Look at what it's saying. We are his workmanship. He created you. He handcrafted you. And you know that, that's wonderful. It's like an artisan who puts together a piece little by little. He made you. He gave you abilities, talents, energy, opportunities, specifically to help others, specifically for good deeds. He planned those good deeds beforehand, okay? So that you help other people, so you reach out to other people. It's not to help yourself. He didn't place you in this planet for you to take care of you and your family. He did not. And many people don't understand that. He placed you on this earth for you to reach out and help other people. Okay? Some people say, well, this is mine and I don't have to share it. I worked for it. But then other people are waiting for the perfect moment to reach out and help. When things calm down, things are never going to calm down. Okay? That's called life. Things are never going to calm down. Things are never going to be perfect. When I have time. No, you prioritize people and things. When I'm prepared to serve, then I will serve. You will never be prepared. You need to be willing, not prepared. You cannot wait for so long. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. And you remember that this was a farming society. It says, "He who observes a wheat will never sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. If you're sitting and waiting for the perfect conditions, will never do anything because there's no such thing as a perfect conditions." And then other people don't serve. Some people don't serve other people because they don't understand what the Bible is. And it is frustrating. Some people think that the Bible is a list of commandments to steal your fun, right? To prevent you from having fun. You know, God is just waiting for somebody to have fun to zap them. It's not like that. It is a manual for how to live with real satisfaction, real peace, real joy. You know what the real secret of happiness is? To serve others. If you don't believe me, talk to people who serve. That's why they love to serve, because it makes them feel fulfilled and happy. Because when you give yourself to God, to serve other people for his glory, and it gives you true joy. You know, and it's kind of sad because many people live for themselves, and they're never truly happy and fulfilled, and they don't understand why, and they're trying to satisfy themselves through different things, superficial, trivial things, and they get bored and they want more and more and more and more, and they never feel fulfilled and happy, never. And they don't understand why they don't enjoy life, because those things are temporary. But the only real thing is, the only real happiness comes from serving others. No matter what situation you're in, there's somebody that you can reach out to. So ask yourself that question. Who can I help? Who can I serve? Who can I reach out to? And to finish the sermon, I don't know how seriously you take your spiritual maturity. If you see it as a priority in your life. If you see it that way, then you need to learn to take advantage of time and of the seasons and of your lessons learned. What is God teaching you? Take it seriously. What is the most important thing in your life right now so you can enjoy it? And who can I serve right now in this season of my life? If we do these things, you're going to start maturing spiritually, and you're going to be closer to Jesus' character. And when you realize it, you're going to be living with a peace of mind, with a security, a safety, self-assurance that you won't believe. But it's very important for you to keep in mind. A season is a season, and it will pass. But you have to take advantage of them and live them to the fullest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Dear God, I know that many people, many of us were listening, especially, you know, this is quarantine, or we're going through difficult situations, painful or tough situations, where we feel a lot of uncertainty. I know that you're faithful, you're in control, you never leave us nor forsake us, and that, God, you make things work for good. Those of us who've been called for your purpose know that all things work for good. And please teach us and help us remember that we need to trust you more and more every day. Open the spiritual eyes of our hearts so that we learn from everything that happens to us. And help us realize that we're not in control, but you're in control. You love us and you keep an eye on us and you take care of us. We want to fall on your hand and we want to increase our faith and let you run our lives. Help us to be honest with ourselves so that we prioritize, dear Heavenly Father. Help us identify what's really important so that we can see in the midst of all this darkness, in the midst of all this mess and craziness, the amount of blessings you're pouring on us, dear God. Open our eyes to other people's pain and suffering so that we extend your grace and mercy to other people, loving them and serving them and supporting them, dear Jesus. We put our lives in your hands, and through this series, you transform our hearts so that we're more like you every day, so that we can see things from your perspective, knowing that we can trust you. In Jesus' name, the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Very well. So let me tell you a couple of things. Normally would be